aber Chazayim. Davon auch aber Chazayim. Yesh Mishayim. The kapos hasuis mikaren, spoons that are made out of horns, bones. Eimahem takon bagol, you can't catch them. The kivin shemiskakon domayim chamin, since they could get ruined with hot water. Hashin demachayis lael, so we're afraid that the person is going to be too worried about breaking it, and therefore he won't do a proper. Correct. Well, that's the first thing, is that an assumption that you can kasher it. That's really the next halacha. That we assume that you can kasher it. In theory, you can kasher it, but you're not allowed to kasher it because you might break it. And therefore, you won't do a good job because you'd be afraid of breaking it. Okay. So this halacha, that part, which is the main part of halacha, which is that if you're afraid of breaking something through hagol, you're not allowed to kasher it. So you think it's pretty straightforward. We had it was in the first halacha, the Gemara, that says that if you're going to do leaven to a kli and it's going to break, and you might be afraid of breaking it, you're not allowed to do leaven. So over here, the Rishonim says, well, hagol is the same kind of thing also. So it seems very, at face value, it seems very straightforward. Okay, the problem is that actually the halacha is very difficult to understand as follows. The tour brings this in without any chos. He just brings it as like the machav does. The Rishonim says, this thing comes from a kolboy. And he says, and the Kabbalah also brings that others are mekel. That's all he says. The Bach brings more of the words of the Kabbalah. I didn't see it inside. And then later people brought even more of it. That the people who are mekel say like this. They say, there's no, by Liban, it makes sense to say that the guy might be afraid to break it. Because Liban needs to be at a very specific temperature. So I could have used it cooked hot dogs at 400 degrees. And now I have the kasha that's saying not at 400 degrees, but at 1400 degrees. So I'm going to afraid to break it. But hagola is kabbalah kastotli. So however I used the kli the first time, when I cooked the food, I used it with hot iser or hot chum at a certain temperature. So that's why I have to kasha with that. So however, if I wasn't afraid to cook with it at that temperature, why should I be afraid to kasha with that
temperature? Temperature
is enough for the most part. Right, it's like obvious to them. Right, that's, you're going to see it. Everyone who's talking about this, all the people going to mention, are assuming it's something really only the later achronim really say, the contemporary achronim, that if you cook at 150 degrees, you catch at 150 degrees. So, it's the modern achronim, we'll talk about it. We've mentioned this before, and it's only modern achronim because now that you have thermometers and we have such exact cooking, you know, go to a factory and they cook at exactly the temperature, is what to talk about. In the old days, this wasn't such a real child. But everyone here you're going to hear talking about it is assuming like that.
I mean,
which is,
you can
tell you nothing to the chaver,
that's the same.
Right, exactly. Well, see, there you could answer, because you cook a pot, usually instead of boil. You could learn. You could just assume, yeah, you cook the boil and then you cook the next day boil. But the Bach asks, and you're going to see, everyone else is going to say this, it is, I don't see it. It's just kabbalah kastotli. The bli happened at a certain temperature, so you're kasher at that temperature. You weren't afraid to cook like that, so why should you be afraid to kasher like that also? Not only does the Bach bring this like that, if you know the Shaar HaTzion says it sort of lamaisa, at the end of Pasuk Aleph, it's halacha about glass. So there's a machlokes rishonim whether glass is balerna, or whether you can kasher it. And the Shaar HaTzion brings that there's a ritva that says the reason why really glass can be kasher like every other material. But the reason why now the kasher glass is because you'll be afraid when you kasher it that you're going to crack it. Okay, glass until modern times couldn't handle heat, so you'd be afraid when you're going to put it into the boiling water, it's going to crack the glass. So that's what the Shaar HaTzion says, that the Ritva says why you're not on the kasher glass, because you're afraid to break it. And the Shaar HaTzion says, So the Shaar HaTzion says, why does everybody else argue on this? He brings something from it, he says, why does everybody else argue on that? And they don't consider that. And because they hold, the same way you use the glass at a certain temperature, so kabbalah kastotli, you're kasher at that temperature also. You weren't afraid to use it when you cooked with it or when you made your food with it. So why would you be afraid to kasher with it also? So the Shaar HaTzion says this svara, he says, well, lamaisa like that. That there's no problem of being afraid to break a kli through hagol, because however you use it, that's how you get a kasher. So back to the bach kasher. How could the machaber say that you can't kasher came with hagol if you're going to be afraid to break it? How can you be afraid to break it? However you used it, that's how you're going to kasher it. But the Bach is not even saying it as his own kasher. Really. He's bringing it as the yesh mekilim. What the Beis Yosef says, there are those who are mekel, he brings it, and the Bach says, he says, no. He says, when you cook in a pot, over a whole year, you use it for chametz. So usually you use it, let's say, at 150 degrees. Maybe one time you use it at 160 degrees. And that, so once in a while you use that, okay, so nothing happened, but you'd be afraid to catch it for 160 degrees. So therefore, the reason why you can't catch it, you're at the usual temperature that you cook at, that you're not afraid to use that again. But maybe you one time use it at a hotter temperature, which really is very... Oh, so that's the question. That's going to be the question. Rega. But the box is that the platin, the machmir, and it says the mekilim are, I forgot the words that he uses, that it's a very far-fetched shita, therefore he goes, says you should be machmir. But the kash is, the machab, it was the halacha before this, said that you follow Rosh Tashmishay. So this is mamash a classic case of Rosh Tashmishay. Every day of the week you use this clear at 150 degrees, and one time you use it at 160 degrees. So that's mamash a classic case of Rosh Tashmishay. The machab himself, the last halacha said, you follow Rosh Tashmishay. So the bacha thing, the reason to be machmir is because maybe you want to use it at the higher temperature, you won't want to kash it there. No. So that doesn't bother the machab. And even the Ramah says that we're machmir from mir Tashmishay. So the occasional use that you like this, you have to be kasher like that also. But we said that the Achronim say it's really a Ramah in your day that if being kasher shumir tashmisha will mean you can't kasher the kli, then you don't have to. So here we have a kli at 150 degrees you can handle. Once you use it at 160 degrees, and that you'd be afraid to kasher. Okay, fine. Then you don't have to kasher. You don't have to be kasher 160 degrees. Even the Ramah, who's machmir for mir tashmisha, is only if that'll let you kasher. If it'll mean you can't kasher, so that you don't have to kasher. Okay, so the din of the machaber is, this whole din is very hard to understand. So what seems so straightforward, we take it partial, that if you're afraid to break something during kashering, you can't kashering, it's very hard to understand. I'm going to say some answers, but you'll see that none of them are very terribly convincing. Okay, so one of the Achronim who talks about it, the Tzitzel Yasser of Baltimore, who says his tshuva is about kashering places. Okay, he in general took my kashrut plastic, and he talks about this point. The shayla is that plastic can melt, and therefore maybe you should be able to kashrut because you're afraid you're going to ruin the kli. That's one of the person's questions. So he talks about this question that I'm telling you now, and he says, well, you can always see if you look at the machaber, it starts with yesh misha imra, the kapas can't be kashrut like this. So you see that he doesn't really hold of it so much. He only calls it Yesh Misha Imer. Only some people say it like that. So you see that he's not so convinced.
Of the other sheet,
no, he doesn't believe the other sheet. So he says no. This is maybe he brings a right from an Akron. Maybe the Machaber doesn't mean it so much. Because he said a second ago that you don't have to question to me for a Tesh Misha. So, as you can imagine, he's not very thrilled with that, as would nobody else be. Okay, because really, the others say that when the Machaber says Yesh Misha Imer, it just means that when someone said a new din that hasn't ever been brought before, it's not like a Gemara, not like a Beferish din, so he calls it Yesh Misha Imer. Just because it's not based on a firm source as other things are. But not that, because he doesn't hold it. He doesn't mean any other days. Okay. And then he says, then the Tzitzel says, he's new, but the Ramah, he says, I know why the Ramah agrees, because you have the question even for me, Tesh Mishay. Okay, so to that, he doesn't say this, but we said ourselves that you can't say the Ramah is because of me, Tesh Mishay, because the Ramah says that doesn't mean you can't cash the Kli, then you don't have the question for me, Tesh Mishay. I'm going to repeat the question, because the rest of that. The question is, the Machaber and Halacha Zayin says, if you're afraid you're going to break a Kli with Hagala, then you can't cash it, okay, which is not a Gemara. The Gemara is about Libun. And the Shaila is, what in the world, and this is Rishonim who argue on it, says that why should you say that you can't kasher it. However you used it, that's how you're going to kasher it. Kabbalah kapalta. If you use it at a certain temperature, 150 degrees, you kasher it at 150 degrees. How could you be afraid to break it? That's how you use it all the time. Okay? So now, I'm going to mention this repeated just for Yossi, which is...
So the temperature business, Kabbalah kapalta, that's a recent invention.
So that I mentioned that I'm repeating this just for you. That everybody who's talking about this today, you know, all these Achronim are assuming that the Kabbalah kapalta goes within temperatures also. It's the recent Achronim who mentioned it because it's a lamaisidic thing nowadays. We have a thermometer. You have a company that cooks it exactly 140 degrees every time, so you can think about kashrut. It wasn't such a real hechatimsa 100 years ago to do like that. But everyone was talking about this. All the people who were talking about today, who are talking about this, are assuming that within Hagola you could also do temperatures. Instead of 100, there isn't a set one that you always have to kashrut at a certain temperature. That whatever it is, whatever the belief was, that's how much you have to kashrut. That's an assumption. That's an underlying assumption.
You're saying kashrut is not kashrut. You're answering the question.
That one.
It's not true. Then they really hug all.
No. I'm saying everyone here keeps saying, why would a person be afraid to break it? However much hot water it took during the when the issue got into it, that's how much you have to use when you kasher it. They're assuming that you could kasher that temperature.
And you're answering that question.
No, I'm not answering that question. No, I'm answering why is it only that the modern Achronim talk about such a musag? Why do they bring it up?
Okay.
They bring it up because nowadays it's a shiloh that's halacha l'maisa.
But why isn't it a good answer, though?
That why?
That's why it's not a kasher, because they did it in a rice. They were magal. They didn't have thermometers or whatever. They were magal always in a rice. That's why the shiloh says them too.
No, but why would the guy be magal in rice? Let's say he used his spoon only in teacups. Okay, he wouldn't use it in a pot. He would only use it in a teacup. Let's say in a klisheni. So what would you say? So kind of in a klisheni, just like you always stick it into your tea like that. So stick it into your hakolah like that also. However you use it, when you use it,
let's say he uses it in a klimushin. And since you don't have
the temperature, wait, no. The guy uses it in the klimushin. Is he afraid of breaking it when he sticks it into the klimushin?
Not at ricin. And not at what is less than ricin. He's not afraid.
However he's comfortable, whatever he does when he's cooking, however he uses it, that's how much he uses it. The same hashara he could use in.
So what is the answer then?
That's what we're talking about. Okay, so we did some tries so far. I'm repeating, but this part because just you see from everyone here that they're assuming that within temperatures you could take Kabbalah Kaspolti also. That if, I believe it was at 150, like the modern Achronim say, so they're all assuming that.
Which Achronim is discussion?
We started with Bach. Okay, it's really Rishonim. The Beis Yosef who brings Rishonim who argue about this din, the ones who are Makel are Makel for exactly this reason. That's what it is. Okay. So
the Bach is discussion?
Yeah, the Bach brings Rishonim. It brings Rishonim who say the other sheet that they're trying to understand why should you be Machmir? The Beis Yosef says the din is to be Machmir, v'yesh mekilim,
mm-hmm.
And he's bringing the other Rishonim, and they're trying to say why, right? Okay, so Daniel Weiss has four answers to this question. Okay, four more answers to this question. You'll see, and he tells you himself, that three of them are very, he has the obvious questions on them, and there's going to be one that he has a within reason, okay, but four answers. He says, maybe the Achronim say that when the Mechaber says if you have a kli made out of bone, out of keren, out of horns, or whatever you call it, okay, you're afraid to break it. They say, you should know also, what happens if you just have the handles made out of that? Or you just have a glue that's holding the different parts together that also might also break. So in that case, you also can't do Hagolah because you're afraid of breaking, of melting the glue, or you're afraid of breaking the handle. So he says, well, we had in Halacha Gimel that if you have a knife and you occasionally poke food on the fire with that, it's a Pesach, you're allowed to do Hagolah. Okay, if based on a bunch of Tziruf, you're allowed to do Hagolah. And in that case, you got to do a full Hagolah to the Kli. You're getting away with Hagolah, but you're going to have to do a full Hagolah in Rosh. So maybe, so here we have a case where you use it at a certain temperature, but you have to do the Hagolah at Rosh Chodesh. So maybe this that we say that you're afraid you're going to break it is because you have to do it at a hotter temperature than you usually do. Usually you just poke it onto the fire for a second. But and even the handle barely gets hot altogether. But when you're going to have to do a full Hagolah at Rosh Chodesh, now you're afraid you're going to break it.
Such a specific case.
So that's exactly his question, is that, what are you talking about? We didn't say that it's only for that specific case. Not only that, he says, the case in the this is only an Achronim's invention later on. The Mechaber says it's a kapos asurus mikaren. The spoon itself is made out of keren. Okay, so what is he talking about? So he says, he answers himself, that it's hard to say that's the pshat in the din. Okay. Next answer. He says, you know the rule is that you can only be semuch on lo tashmishai if you haven't used it for the secondary use within the past 24 hours. Because Rosh Tashmish assumes that it's Eina Binyamin, so it's only Nisa Drabana. Since it's only Nisa Drabana, you can be Samech on Rosh Tashmish. So if within 24 hours you use it for the other use, then you're not allowed to be Samech on Rosh Tashmish. So he says, well, sometimes you might use this spoon within 24 hours for the higher temperature, the occasional higher temperature. He says, so maybe there's a light plug. Since sometimes within 24 hours you use it for the secondary use, so you always have to, you know, we throw out the din of Rosh Tashmish because of a light plug that occasionally will be within 24 hours, so even if it's not within 24 hours, you still have to be Machmir. Okay, so he says, that would be very nice. If we make up such a light plug, very nice. He says, the only problem is that Halacha Vav is all about Rosh Tashmish. How come no one said anything in Halacha Vav? Halacha Vav said, you can be Samech on Rosh Tashmish, assuming, of course, that you know that it has to be in the Binyan. So why doesn't anybody say it over there? This is the wrong place to say it. We just finished Halacha Rosh Tashmish. Okay, a third answer he tries. He said there's a rift that holds that when you kasher something, you have to leave it in the water for a certain amount of time. Okay, not you have to leave it in there for a certain amount of time in the Rosh Chodesh. So he says maybe the kli can handle hot for a second or two. But if you leave it there for a long time, how long is it going to take to do Hagolah? then it's not going to be able to handle it. So you'll be afraid to.
When you cook, right? You cook for a second.
So no, let's say you stir a pot. You just stir the pot for a second. Use the spoon to stir a pot. So that for a second, like that, you could do it. But to keep it in the Haggadah water for a long time, that you're not going to be able to do. Okay. So he is. He tells you. Obviously, it's, this from somebody else. The obvious question on that is. The obvious question on that is that that's not the din. The din is that doesn't take anything. How go just takes a second. Okay, as soon as the kli goes into the water, the bleeds come right out. So very nice is such a shita, and maybe the machmirim hold like that shita. That's fine. That's okay. But then it wouldn't be the halacha lemaisa. Then it wouldn't be sitting here.
The Shabbos clearly says that for a second. I don't know. Shabbos, the next one.
I don't remember if it's Beferish, but in I think it's Tufman Bays, he brings the shita and he doesn't like it. Okay.
You said that it has to get hot.
Right. I told you at the time, but that's not a minhadin. Obviously, I don't mean that's not minhadin.
Shabbos is one second.
That's 1 second. But this is what Belsky said was that even though the hakal only takes 1 second, okay, but it doesn't make sense that you could dunk it and take this tremendous cold, could you drop it in and take it out, and it should still be cold. So when we say 1 second means that it got hot, and it stayed in for a second.
If you make sense of that, all the bleeds come out in the second, if you make sense of it.
Then you could what?
If you make sense that all the bleeds come out in the second, it also makes sense of the cold clay. There's a problem.
That a cold clay? Oh, I mean, the clay could stay cold. Okay. Oh, so, but, I mean, according to our best, you have an incident. But he'll say is that even him, it takes a few seconds till it gets heated up also. Maybe it's like that. Okay, maybe that's an incident. Because it takes a couple of seconds till it gets to even to the startled temperature. Okay. So now, his only answer is, Diane Weiss's only answer is like this. He says, if I use the kli at a certain temperature, and now I need to kashrut it. So the normal thing a person should do is, they need to kashrut it, is, they should make the water a certain amount hotter than the temperature that you use, just because they can never be sure you can get it at the right temperature. You usually use it at a certain amount, so you, in being cautious, should make it a little hotter than it was to be sure. You don't know how to judge if it was exactly right, so you make it a little hotter to be sure. He says, and what's going to happen is, if you have a cleave that's very sensitive and it could break at high temperatures, your caution is going to go the other way. You're going to say, if I make this too hot, I might break the cleave. So we use a number. Let's say if it was you cooking at 150 degrees. So on the kashering side, the smart thing is to go to 160 degrees. Say I have a margin of errors. So I go to 160 degrees. But if you're afraid of breaking the kli, you can go to 140 degrees because you say, oh, 150 might be too close. You can go to 140 degrees. So instead of being cautious, lechumra, and making the hagol at a little bit of a higher temperature, you're going to be cautious, lechumra, for the sake of the kli, and kashrut at a lower temperature. So he's saying, and this is especially true when you think about it, kashrut without a thermometer. Not like nowadays in a company with a thermometer. When you kashrut just based on, just like I usually use it like this and like that. So now it's completely up to the person's judgment as to does he going to do it at the right temperature or not. So the sensible thing would be to go a little higher. And the lemaisa is the guy's going to go a little lower because he's afraid of breaking. So therefore, you're not even going to get the kabbalah kashrut. To get Kabbalah Kachpota, you have to do it at the. To get Kabbalah Kachpota, you have to do a little bit above the temperature you used to that, and instead you can go the opposite way. Okay, I can't say that it's terribly convincing. It's the best answer there is. Again, back to the beginning. I don't think that there's a great answer to this question, unless you can say. You could say. You can only say is maybe there's no such thing within Hagol. There's no levels. There's no kabbal kafoto within Hagol. But what the modern achronim say, the contemporary achronim say that at 100, if you blew at 150 degrees, you can cast 150 degrees. Maybe that's completely wrong, and the other rishonim completely disagree with that, and everything has to be at Royce. Okay. But no, there are people who are like that. I'm not saying there aren't people nowadays who are like that, but it's very much accepted, and I'm telling you that all that part of what's talking about.
Yeah. That's how we learned also, right? Remember that?
Oh, he's a Kabbalah.
But you only have to touch Kabbalah.
Yeah.
And all the Achronim we're talking about over here are assuming not like that, but maybe that is. If that's true, again, the Sfar is like the people say nowadays that Kabbalah Kachpote works within temperatures also. Just like that din over there. It started off as a din in Liban Hagola and went to Klevish and Klesheni, and there's no reason why within temperatures it shouldn't be the same thing also. Okay, but
isn't this what you're talking about? It brings up a question about.
he talks about whether for Libun you should take Kabbalah Kafot. He talks about for Libun. For Agolah, there's no such thing. For Libun, he talks about Well, he wants to say that maybe you could even say Kabbalah Kafot for Libun, meaning that Libun also draws out the Bli instead of burning it up. Okay, which everybody disagrees with. Everybody says that Libun burns
it up. All you do is Kabbalah Kafot and Be'ej instead of a bishop.
Correct. But that's not accepted. That's like way not accepted. That's a very big chiddush. Everybody says that Libun means burns the Bli as opposed to drawing out the Bli. But in drawing out the Bli,
he says about using what he needs rice for. It's not true. Using the same temperature, he makes my colleagues out of it, I believe.
Okay, so you're wrong? Okay.
Fine. I don't know what it is.
Of course you do. Okay, fine. Okay, so that's the thing. So the point really was just to bring out the question, which is that the thing that seems very straightforward, and we take it as obvious, that if you're afraid of breaking the kli, you're not like kasher it, is by no means so straightforward. Okay, let's do a little ches, it's not as long. All these different kind of kelim using kasher lagola. And the Rama says, "V'chein kli etzim tzrich magola, also kli etzim need hagola." And the Mishnah Berurah points out that kli etzim and kli keren are almost exactly the same thing. And the kli etzim means the more solid ones that can handle the heat, and kli keren, which was the halacha before, are the more delicate ones that can handle the temperature. Okay. Now, just within this din, the kli evin that the Mechaber mentions, that he just says it in passing, kli eitz, kli evin, kli makhas, you should know that the there are really three sheets. The Mishnah brings three sheets about this. Some hold that it's like cheres, and it can't be kashered at all. It's belay, it can't be kashered at all. Some hold like what we say, which is, it is belay, and it can be kashered. And some hold that it's not belay at all. It's completely not belay. Okay, so three opposite extremes. Okay, some hold that it's not belay, b'chol. Okay, which that's, we find that hard to understand because of all the kelim that we know of that are belayah, that we have nowadays, we don't see any belayahs in metal, and we do see belayahs in stone. Okay, there is belayahs in, we see it, and they'll tell you when you get your, someone gets a granite counter, if you don't seal the counter, you'll get stains in it. The stuff will mamash get absorbed into it. Okay, so, which makes you wonder that if someone could say that stone is not belayah, meaning that would have to be to say is that little bit that goes in, that doesn't count. That's like a nothing. So you can only imagine then what used to go into metal then. You know what I'm saying? If what we think is a blia, that is so little, some people can even say that it's nothing.
What do you say about stones? You
don't see, if you have a sealed stone counter, you won't see it. Right. If you have an unsealed, if you don't seal a granite counter, it will get stains in it. They'll absorb the food that you cook on it, that you put on it. They'll absorb into it. Or you go into a, take a piece of concrete and you can see yourself that it absorbs. So concrete is
different.
Okay, I shouldn't say that. Concrete is cursed. Okay, I'm going to leave that on the side. Okay.
You said the bone is the same thing?
Bone is the same as what?
Karen. As
a... As whether it absorbs in it?
Yeah, didn't you just say that?
No, I said bone in this din is the same as Karen in the din before him. Both have the same din to them.
Uh-huh.
Just that the bone is the more solid one that the Ramos is in can kasher. You just do alcohol to it. And in the din before him, we said that you can't kasher them because you might break them. But absorbing wise, they're the same. Just that the karen are more centered, they're easier to break, and therefore you can't kasher them. That's the separate thing. Okay. So now, the Magen Avraham says, what's the difference between clay adama and clay cheres? They're both the same stuff.
If you take clay cheres?
What?
What's the difference between clay evan and clay cheres or clay adama?
Clay adama. Clay adama.
You didn't mention clay adama anyway.
It's the same thing. Clay adama and clay evan, that's the same. That's reasonably the same thing. What?
Is it different?
It's both. I mean, they both. Well, something you just scoop it out of the ground, either a rock or a sand. And cheres. What do you make cheres? Is you take clay out of the ground and you make it and you burn it and it turns into cheres.
So what's one is a hard rock stone. Okay. You took dirt and you mushed it together. That's like cheres, dog.
Okay. So called clay adama. The question is the same. It's the same point. I'll tell you what he said because the point is his answer, which is he says the difference. What makes it into cheres is not something that comes out of the ground can't be kosher, but if you take it, you put into a kiln, and you make these huge changes in the kli. It used to be like this, and it becomes like that. That's what makes it, that creates a kli cheres, makes it very porous, and makes it able to absorb so much that you can't do hagol to it. Okay? But where you can take the sand out of the ground by itself, the clay, I don't, if you just take some dirt, smash it together, and let it dry, and turn it into a pot, that would not be kli cheres, and you could patch the kli. Okay? So this is a bricks. Okay? So if you take bricks, the normal way to make bricks is to make them like cheres. You take the sand out of the ground, and you, the clay out of the ground, then you form it into the shape, and then you put it into a kiln. You bake it, and then it turns into a brick, it becomes a klicheres. Okay? But if you just...
It's the heat.
It's the heat that makes the change into it. But if you just take dirt out of the ground and you make a clod of something and you let it dry out to become a, just a dried out brick like that, that would not be a klicheres, and you could dasher it. Even though it's reasonably the same material, you wouldn't be able to catch it.
The Chazinish argues with that.
Okay.
He says, it can't be better than Klicheres. He says you can't catch it.
You cannot catch it?
Cannot catch it. Okay. I think he prepared his argument on the Magen Avraham.
Okay. Fine. Now we can take the Magen Avraham, what he says, one step further, which is, you know that when you make metal, doesn't come out of the ground looking like a shiny barbed wire pot. Okay, it comes out of the ground, and it's also put into a huge fire in order to make it the way it is. Okay, but the difference is that when you put metal into a fire, all you're doing is you're burning away the impurities, all the junk that's there, you're burning that away, and you liquefy the metal. But that's not doing anything to the metal. The metal is of a different nature. It can handle the heat better, and nothing happens to it. Now, when it solidifies, it turns just into pure metal, as opposed to metal with other impurities in it. So it's not so much that it's made with heat. It's not that it's processed with heat, it's that the heat that processes it makes a big change into it. It goes from being clay into klicheres, as opposed to going from metal into metal. Metal didn't get changed by the heat. Okay, so it's not the heat per se, it's the heat making a change in it that makes a difference. Okay, and this, really we're not doing glass now, but this is the basis for the machlokes about glass, is that glass gets processed just like klicheres does. Instead of taking clay, you take sand, you put it into huge amounts of heat, and it turns into a whole different thing. It changes from sand, like on a beach, turns from sand into being a piece of glass. Okay, that huge change sure seems like Harris. Everything about it looks like Harris. But the other side is that the finished product doesn't seem anything like Harris. The finished product is sheev, like bala. It seems so smooth that it doesn't seem possible to be bala. As opposed to Harris, you look at the bottom of your mug, you'll see it looks like it's very much able to absorb. Okay, so that's the machlok is about glass is based on that. Okay, so based on this Magen Avraham, we understand that this should be obvious, which is you can't, things that come naturally out of the ground, that just come out of the ground as is, you can touch it, just say notwithstanding. Meaning, if you take, I'm not funny to say, if you take, let's say, rubber, okay, it comes out of a tree, okay, not artificial plastic, but real rubber that comes out of a latex, it comes out of a tree, or asbestos, which is also its fibers that come out of the ground. Those are things that can be kashered because the mom is taken out of the ground. There's nothing done to them to make any change. And they are as is. They're like natural, so to speak. As is, they come out, and they can be kashered because they're just plain things out of the ground, and they can are soon to be able to be kashered. If you go to the opposite, the other side is the bricks and cement and things like that. Those things are real chayrus, and they can't be kashered. And in fact, cement is not such an unusual thing. Really huge tanks are made out of, like, big things can be made out of cement, and they can't be kashered. Okay? And the cement is really cheres, ground up and mixed with other things to make something else.
Okay, so they can't be kashered because that is...
Because it's cheres.
It's fired up.
Yeah. Cement is made, in order to make cement, if I remember correctly, the word cement refers to cheres, which is ground up, then you mix it together with other things to create concrete. Okay, we use those words like interchangeably, but really one is the cheres, which is ground up, and that powder is mixed with sand and some other things, and then it turns into
concrete. It's something that went through an oven.
But it's first powder. Goes through a regular oven, but when you finish it, you grind it up into a powder. When you finish that thing, I believe that's called cement. That first thing you create and you grind up is called cement, and then you mix it with sand and some other things, and you make what we call concrete. I think those two, they're not the same thing. One is the ingredient, and one is the finished product. Okay, but the finished product, and we see ourselves that it's porous. I mean, when it rains, the side will get different colors. I mean, you could see that it's porous. Okay, so now just a side thing, which we're not going to do now, which is the machaber. The first thing was echad kliyeitz, that if you kash a wood, okay, it does not say wood in the Torah that you can kash it. It's an assumption that Chana making that you can kash, that the Rishonim are making that you can kash a wood. Maybe I think it's even a Gemara that you can kash a wood. Okay, which is negates the side of plastic. What happens if you have a material that's not in the Torah? Could you kash it or not? The implication here is that if there are new things that will come along or things that aren't mentioned in the Torah, you could potentially kash them as long as they're not cheres. And there's a little bit of a diyun here about why aren't you concerned that the end will get stuck in it because wood will get cracked and nicks and things like that. So how do you kash a piece of wood? It's usually not smooth and has bumps and cracks in it. But I'm going to wait for that for a later halacha, I think it is. Within some more of a diyun about that, by having little bits of the end left in the thing, but that's the food. I'm going to say.